on the seven dolors of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And thy own soul a sword shall pierce. Luke chapter 2, verse 35. The following is from Father Frederick William Faber. If we sincerely wish to be really and truly the children of Mary, we cannot do better than try to imitate our mother. Let us ascend to Calvary. Let us constantly remain with her at the foot of the cross. Let us share with her in the sufferings of Jesus, and let us impress on our hearts the image of the crucified one. If St. John had not ascended Mount Calvary, the Savior would not have given Mary to us in so marked a manner. We cannot hope to be fervent children of Mary if we are not to be found with her on Mount Calvary. It is there that she has adopted us. It is there only that she will acknowledge that we are her children. You deceived yourself, O great apostle, when you said on Mount Tabor that you wished to be always there. It is good to be here. Luke 9:33. You did not know then that the glory of Tabor is reserved for a happy eternity, and that Calvary is the sole inheritance of God's children on earth. It is at the foot of the cross that Mary can say, "Look and make it according to the pattern that was shown thee on the mount." Exodus 25:40. If you wish to be my children, imitate the example that I give you. Be firm and constant at the foot of the cross, and know that if you keep away or stand aloof, you can neither be children of God nor a child of Mary. If we simply were compelled to compassionate our dying Savior, we should find many a tender-hearted Christian who would be easily led to practices of piety. But it is not merely a question of compassion. We must not endeavor to imitate, we must be crucified with Jesus Christ. If Mary does not see within us the likeness of her dear crucified Son, she will not acknowledge us as her children. For whom he foreknew, he also predestinated to be made conformable to the image of his Son. Romans 8:29. If that be true, can we believe that we are children of Mary? Alas, very far from being on Calvary and at the foot of the cross, we are at the feet of earthly idols to whom we offer a continual sacrifice. And far from being an image of Jesus crucified, we are more like to the evil one. Ah, Holy Virgin, since you have suffered so much to be our mother, obtain for us favors from your Son, so that he may make us worthy to be your children. And after having accompanied and imitated you on Calvary, we may, through your powerful intercession, be found worthy to reign with you in heaven. The first thing that strikes us about Our Lady's dolors is their immensity. It is to her sorrows that the Church applies those words of Jeremiah, "O all ye that pass by the way, attend and see if there be any sorrow like to my sorrow. To what shall I compare thee, and to what shall I liken thee, O daughter of Jerusalem? To what shall I equal thee, that I may comfort thee, O virgin daughter of Zion? For great as the sea is thy brokenheartedness, who shall heal thee?" Mary's love is spoken of as that which many waters could not quench. In like manner, the saints and doctors of the Church have spoken of the greatness of her sorrows. St. Anselm says, "Whatever cruelty was exercised upon the bodies of the martyrs was light, or rather it was as nothing, compared to the cruelty of Mary's passion." St. Bernardine of Siena says that so great was the dolor of the Blessed Virgin, that if it was subdivided and parceled out among all creatures capable of suffering, they would perish instantly. An angel revealed to St. Bridget that if our Lord had not miraculously supported his mother, it would not have been possible for her to live through her martyrdom. It would be easy to multiply similar passages, both from the revelations of the saints and the writings of the doctors of the Church. Where is Mary to look with her soul's eye for consolation? Nay, her soul's eye must look where her body's eye is fixed already. It is bent on Jesus, and it is that very sight which is her torture. She sees his human nature, and she is the mother beyond all other mothers, loving as never mother loved before, as all mothers together could not love, if they might compact their myriad loves into one intensest nameless act. He is her son, and such a son, and in so marvelous a way her son. He is her treasure and her all. What a fund of misery, keen, quick, deadly, unequaled, was there in that sight. And yet there was far more than that. There was his divine nature. Yes, he is God. She saw that through the darkness of the eclipse. But then the blood, the spittings, the earth stains, the unseemly scars, the livid, many-colored bruises, it is vain to think of giving a name to such misery as then flooded her soul. Jesus, the joy of the martyrs, is the executioner of his mother. Twice over, to say the least, if not a third time also, did he crucify her, once by his human nature, once by his divine, if indeed body and soul did not make two crucifixions from the human nature only. No martyrdom was ever like to this. No given number of martyrdoms approached to a comparison with it. It is a sum of sorrow which material units, ever so many added together, ever so often multiplied, do not go to form. It is a question of kind as well as of degree, and hers was a kind of sorrow which has only certain affinities to any other kind of sorrow, and is simply without a name, except the name which the simple children of the church call it by, the Dolors of Mary.